That is terrifying. I'm more terrified about the driving aspect.
Really? You care about that?
Because then, like, they're off the leash, right? Like, you don't know where they are.
Yeah, I guess the thought of like,
Wherever they want.
yeah, just completely on their own, like doing. My problem
God
too is like,
knows what.
well, the problem is like you kind of know, because you were a teenager, and you know exactly what's up, and
Well,
that's like.
that's just, But that being said, there's probably a lot more tools these days, right? Social media, I could track them. They probably FaceTime their phone.
I wonder, like which way you're going with that, like
Siri.
tools for you or tools for them? You went with for yourself. That's nice.
For me, and then they have to, if I've taught them well, they'll circumvent it with other technology and they'll know how to get around it.
They counter my tech with more tech, with better
Right.
tech.
Tech war.
Actually, man, on this stream, I actually want to jump right into it. I'm gonna do the intro, then I want you to keep going. This is hilarious. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and another on the way.
And my name is Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, no teenagers.
Yet, it's so close. Like less than double your one son's current age. So I mean, like the I don't know if that's ever if you've ever had that conversation with your parents. I don't know that I had,
What, the
but
conversation?
no. That's
Are you getting at?
it's more just the man. I'm kind of curious to ask my parents now. Just the thought of you must have known what I was up to when I was a teenager. Like I wasn't particularly bad or off the wall, but ultimately you're still doing teenager, young adult things, and it's like at some point when you went out or like you tried to like sneak in, like you're super clever. It's like they just totally know what you're doing.
I don't know. I think my mom was pretty oblivious to, like, again, I wasn't a bad kid. I didn't do stupid stuff that I really know of, I guess. But not that I'm gonna air out on the internet, but
Tell the world your secrets, Jeff.
yeah, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like I was chased by the cops and then like dove for cover at home. But there was some stuff that I don't think she knows about. In fact, that's funny because usually the Christmas dinners now, we sit around the table and I tell old stories about like, did you know when I did this? And you could see the look of horror on her face. Just like, you, Jeffrey, you did not do, Jeffrey, you did not
No.
do that. You shouldn't have done
It's just like this image in her back is just like chipping away slowly.
It's like that innocent son is gone. I don't know. She didn't know about a lot of stuff I had told her, so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I really got away with anything in particular that they didn't weren't aware of. They didn't that none I wasn't quote unquote caught at the time. I just doubt there was ever a time when I had done something and I just anytime when I was young and I did something and I thought I pulled it off. In retrospect now, and especially as a parent, I just like I swear that they just knew it all about it now. Like because like this
Well, and there's a lot
parent
of,
dar and like just knowing.
you have family too, right? You have three others, right? So
Three siblings, yeah.
I have one other brother. So there's only one leak that I could go after if I knew where it came from. So
I'd like to think we kept pretty tight around that, but who knows?
never know. He sold out for the keys of the car. Who knows?
Jumping into it, how was your week in fatherhood and gaming?
Fatherhood was good. We had another birthday party this past weekend, so they're getting better with the ones that I at least go to, not host. It was a 7-year-old's birthday party, so it was like a round of golf. It was still mini putt, not like actual
Yeah,
golf,
I
but
was gonna say
not
for well,
quite
it's
there.
say golf, and I was imagining like
Just
corralling like nine, 7-year-olds,
in golf carts.
all their little clubs. Yeah.
No, it was pretty well behaved for the most part. So you can see the teenager-ish kind of creeping up, though. Like, they get into more antics. But they know how to get away with it. And so it's getting better. It's not like the indoor play places, which I'm kind of sick of after 5 years of having them. So we're kind of away from that, which is great. In terms of gaming, I'm still working on Final Fantasy 15 and jumping into Pillars of Eternity again. So it's kind of, one's on like my Mac and then the other's on PS4. So I kind of separate it that way. Whenever I kind of feel like lounging on the couch, it's Final Fantasy, but computer and all business, I'll jump into a game now and then.
Separating a little bit of business, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, why not? The like kids love to watch, like, they love to watch it. So Final Fantasy 15, that's okay. Pillars of Eternity's got some gore in it, so I'm like, eh.
Yeah, not so much. So walk me through, though, because I still can't. So we're in the mode of when my son is up, it's, you know, you need to contain the tornado. So
yeah,
there's not like, so it still baffles me. I've pegged you a couple times on this. So like, you play games while your kids are awake. Like, how the hell does that happen? Like,
yeah, walking through, like,
is this like you arrange it with your wife, or like you're gonna from 2 to 3, you're going to, and if they come in, that's great. Like, walk me through this afternoon, like the last time it happened.
Okay,
what time of the day
does it
possibly work?
There's criteria to be met. Okay, first of all, they have to be well behaved. Like, if they're not well behaved during the day, there's no chance of playing a video game. So that usually doesn't meet.
So that rolls out 95%.
Yeah. So sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Second is like, if it's kind of like a rainy day or something, the weather usually plays a big part. Like, if we're out and about and we've had a long day at the splash pad or a birthday party or whatever, we come home, like, that's it. I'm not playing a game. At least with them, I might play it later on when they've gone to bed. That's kind of step two. But if it's, again, like a rainy day, I'll kind of, it's almost giving my wife a break, and I'll take the kids and we'll go downstairs and we'll play something that they can both either participate in or they just want to watch, which is great, because I remember having that with my brother. I would play the video games and he would watch. So I like that.
It's a scheduled task. It's like, in the sense that, yeah, like, Hey, boys, do you want to go play?
Yeah, it's more like you wing it. It's not usually early in the morning. I kind of want them not to, I don't know, stare at a video game all day. Like, we'll just play an hour to break up the afternoon. But they'll have to read a book first or do a sheet, which is usually like math problems or like a line of text that they have to write out. So that's like their little homework, and then they get this reward, which is my reward, really.
Yeah,
in sense. So, like,
you play a game, but yeah, great reward.
Thanks. Okay, guys, I'll go play.
And they finish all their dinner, they get to watch you eat ice cream. Like, what? Yeah. Interesting reward system in your house you have.
Sorry, guys, you don't get one. That's paid DLC. Can't do it.
Like, I bought the ice cream, I'll eat it, damn it. This
house is. Yeah, so sometimes it happens during the day. Most of the times it does happen at night when my youngest is asleep. My oldest gets to stay up an extra hour, so I'll play with him, and then he's usually a bit more advanced too, so he can participate in the games too. And that's what I kind of want too. If he's always watching all the time, he's not going to get as good as me, and I won't have proper competition when he's a teenager. So
sounds like it'll backfire, though. Like, at some point, he's just going to start ruining.
It does,
you.
Yeah.
Like, well, you've ascended me.
That's it. I quit video games. I'm going to write some books.
Kick him out of the house. Like, well.
No, or that.
Good enough. Like, off you go. I'm 12. Well, not my fault you got good so quick.
Yeah, you leveled up too quickly. Get out.
On to the pro scene, son. All the best. Sent him on his way with a controller.
Yeah, bring back some money. I want to cut.
Nice. Yeah, demand for 15%.
Yeah. But, you know, that's about it. That's kind of how it happens. But most days they misbehave one way or another, so it's not really gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's a dream, though. That's fantastic. So now you have them do lines of math or writing or something like that. You guys just have sheets that, this is outside of school work? You give them like
sheets? Yeah, we just print them off the internet, or at least my wife does. She's found a couple just good sites, and they're just like dotted lines for my youngest just to kind of trace around the letters. And my oldest loves math, so we just print out random math problems for him to do, and then it's kind of fun to them in a way. Like, it doesn't feel like schoolwork yet. Maybe they're a little bit naive on that fact until they get wise to it later.
Yeah. But, well, the best part, your son's going to eventually get homework.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what do you mean I have to do? Yeah, I do this already. Wait a minute.
Bing. It's like grade 10. Bing. I'm hoping.
Well, that's awesome, though. Like, that's like fantastic. Yeah,
it's just something that makes them kind of stop and think instead of asking about it all the time, because otherwise they would just ask me constantly to play video games, but they know that they have to do something first. It's kind of like it makes them ask once in a while versus every day, every hour.
How bad do you want it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You don't make this much math if you want it. Like, how important is it to you today?
Let's go down and play with my Lego. All right. Sorry.
Read a book, I guess. Chance. Whatever, Dad.
Yeah. But well, that's pretty good. Anyway, how was your week?
Yeah, so the gaming, just a couple sessions of Farpoint, and had read where it's very much it turns out that you can move around in the lobby, which I hadn't known about before. So you get into the lobby and you're just looking at this like room inside of a space center.
Okay.
Be the right word for that. What's the ISS called?
What?
Sorry. NASA? The ISS? The space...
International Space Station? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you just call it a space station. Okay, so it's a room in a space station.
Yeah.
And... But you can actually move around, so you're able to like kind of walk around and check out the quarter, like where the sleep and notes around it. You can't read them; they're just nonsense notes. But
someone is that full movement though? Is that full movement, or is it like the the way
you can? Okay, cool. What's really interesting with the movement that they did is it's actually you can control it. So they've designed the levels that you could totally do it without turning your character if you want to. So you can move the character just like strafe left, right, forward, back. All the levels that they've built it very specifically so that you wouldn't like that would become an issue. You wouldn't have to take turns. However, you can enable it.
Oh,
so it's either I think that's turning, and I can definitely see it too because it is a little bit disorienting.
Yeah,
where when you the back and forth and everything you get used to, you get your legs in it, but when you're swinging like back and forth, without your actual body doing that, like it becomes very kind of confusing. And I think ultimately, like, if you had more room, like I don't have a lot of room in my setup, so I don't really stand up or anything, but I imagine if you're able to actually stand up, you can probably just actually kind of shift your body a bit more.
Oh, you're not standing up during dang?
No, the way my room is set up, I don't have room.
it's
a TV and the couch, and I have just enough room that I can sit on the couch. I cannot stand. I'd have to be like on my knees on my couch if I wanted to do it that way.
See, that's what I felt like with Dirt Rally, I had to be sitting down. Battle Zone or whatever, the tank one, I had to be sitting down because I felt like I was like driving a vehicle, right? But the other ones where it was like the Rush of Blood or whatever, I guess you were standing. And then when it went to the roller coaster, I had to sit down. I don't know. It was like a weird, my mind had a better time with kind of getting that information and putting it, okay, you are sitting in this world. That's like, not yours.
Like, no, you must sit, sir. Like this is, you need to be immersed that way. So anyways, I found that, someone found online like a cheeky kind of sub game that they included in that menu where you can take, there's this port hole in the one side, like just stairs down in a hole and you can like bat things into it with your gun. So it comes in front of you, then it's like the cans or like a coffee maker sitting in front. So if you just like slam it kind of like a cat towards the hole, like points come up. It has to be like, it's way too much fun. You're just like, these people have created this whole like incredible VR shooting world. And like, you can just imagine the number of like idiots sitting in like the menu, like, woo, they're just trying to bat random items into the.
I hope that you have it playing on your TV screen and your wife comes in and she's like, this is what VR is, and you're just batting this thing.
This is what you bought.
This is it. This is, you know, $500. This is what this is right now.
Was this worth it for you?
It's totally great, honey. You gotta get in here.
So there's, yeah, a couple really tiny ones of that. And yeah, otherwise, I guess I just keep thinking about gaming when the kid comes and exactly what to do with the setup. Or it was another random one. I was in EA Games. And this, I'm not going to buy this thing, but like it passed, like had that fleeting moment of like, that would actually kind of work and be interesting.
Okay.
But it's one of those like TV cases. So it's where it's a suitcase that opens up and it holds your system. And then the top drawer is a TV and like and a monitor and everything. So.
Like an all in one, you just pop it out. Boop.
You just have it. You have this place thing somewhere. And then when it comes time, as opposed to having to go to a particular part of your house where everything's set up, it's just like, all right, this is like 20 minutes. Like load up the suitcase and get going. So one of those like looking at it, fleeting moments of like, huh, that's not a bad idea. That might.
Yeah, I could see the market for that.
Oh, but the that's about it. It's going to take a long time. I keep wanting to get in, and I keep wanting to find like 30 minutes to an hour to finish Uncharted because I'm at the end of it. Like, well, at least I think I am. Yeah. But I don't know. It just comes down to it, and like, I guess what I'm concerned about is that I think it's going to be more than 30 minutes to an hour to finish it.
Yeah, and that's probably a hard one to stop in the middle if you had like to get out of it, right? Because the narrative could keep going, and then you're like, ah, come on! I found that a couple times with that one. So,
yeah. So I did. So when I do look at, so you know, for like such like sparse time that I get to do something like this, it's still like the 15 minute like sessions where it's like I prefer just to VR shoot some spiders, I guess, and like get back out. Fatherhood was the. Yeah, I don't want to keep like being a downer on this show, but it's a lot of stuff. Womp, womp, womp. There's just a lot of stuff flooding in, like as we keep approaching number two.
Oh yeah,
and there's two things that were kind of sad of all things. What is now like has to be one of my favorite things in the world is. Mm-hmm. Especially it's either like maybe sometime in the morning after he's fed and kind of like settled down a bit, we'll watch like a little bit of TV.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on the couch and then he taps beside him like up, like in trying to signal for me to sit beside him.
Oh, okay. That's cute.
So he taps like beside him, like come and sit here.
Yeah.
And then I do. And you just kind of like cuddle together and like watch a little bit of TV.
Right.
And it's like, that's so, that is one of my favorite things in the world. Like things that is so awesome, like across the board. And that's going to go away. Like it's going, like that will vary. That's going to end. Like it relatively, I don't know how old he would care to do that. Like I'm trying to think about like, does a 4-year old want that same type of like interactivity? Does like a 6-year-old probably, like I can't imagine like a 6-year-old doing that. And it's just like, this will end, like this is which is like so like I don't like to think of anything that we're doing like that, but I get caught sometimes in raising him where it's just like when he, you know, like I mentioned last week when he said he started to string together 2-word sentences and it's like you're never gonna not talk again, like that part's right. Over. Yeah. So he's like these milestones while joyous are also sad because it's just like this, it's passing of things that you enjoy that aren't going to happen. So he did that a couple times this weekend. I just like it really struck me as far as like, damn, I'm gonna miss that because I like this so like it's it is so great for me to this.
I think that'll continue. I think, well, having a 7 and 4-year-old, they are on you to do whatever. So my youngest still calls me to watch something with him. Like he doesn't want to be by himself to watch it. He wants to watch something with me. So that still kind of happens. My oldest wants to do everything with me. He'll want to go outside, ride a bike, go play a video game, but he wants me to watch him. Even go downstairs and play Lego with him. He wants me to be around, which is great. Cause otherwise like you will kind of get uneasy. You're like, wow, this is, you know, we're going to have two. It's going to split my time. He's got to go off on his own a little bit and you've got to be with a little one, which will be a little bit tough to begin with, but they always want you around, like unless you're constantly yelling at them to get away. I don't see that changing.
Yeah. Or I could imagine, there's some like kids who just have a certain personality where it's like super independent, perhaps. Yeah. That's funny. That's an exact segue though, because that's the second thing that really started to strike me is, I think we were at a mall picking up something for a birthday party we'd actually also gone to just today. Which was funny because like we were one of two parents that had 2-year-olds. I want to say 1-year-olds or under.
Yeah.
And they're having a fine time because they're just on picnic blankets and they're all like within this radius because their little ones can't move.
Right.
I'm running around like a jerk, like on the outside, like I'm a kilometer away, like watching this party. I don't know if you saw this, like I posted a photo and it's literally my son in like barefoot, nice pants that are soaked, shirtless, chasing a squirrel around a
tree. Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just, just tearing after this squirrel, like a savage. And there's this like, and on the other side of this is like well-behaved group of 1-year-olds having a birthday party with like food and drink.
Yeah,
like I'm trying to mangle my feral kid who's trying to like eat squirrels apparently. Sorry, go on.
No, just chasing the wild. I remember my kids run around and when there's, not to scare you, but when there's two of them and they're both going in opposite directions, you have to have like a code with your wife or who your significant other, you're just like, all right, you got that one, I got this one.
Yeah, like taps. Or like,
otherwise, it's just like two take off to the one and you forget the other one, or you just like jumble yourself.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I guess the thing that like, so we were so we're shopping for that birthday party. I think we'd stop for a bite to eat and playing with them a bit in the kids center that was there. And the thinking around our time with him will be halved. Where it's been so kind of that focus on him and like the time together that we've had has been really great. And especially in like retrospect, I imagine at the beginning too, like, see, now would be a good time to have a montage of like, we had rewind. Oh yeah. God.
Yeah, exactly. Just play that now.
But in retrospect where it's the focus and the time that you could spend with them, just like, it's like he's alone and it's two of us and it's just us and him and us to be able to like dote on him, all of our affection and focus. Now, like I remember, I think it was even you who had referenced a quote that's saying that when you have a second kid, it's not like you have to split up your heart in half. It's more that your heart doubles and like it, which I really like that thinking. That's really reassuring to me, but the time is definitely finite and focus is too. Yeah. And I guess I'm trying to think about like, so I wanted to get your opinion on that. Cause like, I'm thinking that this, the second one comes around and it feels like a double whammy where like the second kid is not going to get the focus that this first one had, where we were able to just give him everything we were because of time. Like just there's now two of them. So like they need both need some of our time. And now the first one also suffers is a bit of a strong word, but like he will see a decrease in the focus on him. Very notably because there's this other one to do. If you can recall your transition when the second one came and that going through that, like what happens now when there's two and the time like from it?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, it's going to be kind of a mess just because you do have a newborn. So like
playing it straight. I like that.
Their needs are like completely illogical, like they're just off the wall, like, you know, I'm kind of hungry but not quite, whatever, I maybe have a dirty diaper, maybe not, and you're just kind of running around trying to fit the routine you had with your first one into the second one. And for the most part it does work, it's just our second at least was a different child, different needs and different sleep times, different all that. So once you get acclimated to that and they get a little bit older, so closer to one, you'll see that the time that you kind of miss with your first is filled with that sibling time. So they start to play together. So I think that bond that develops is a lot, not stronger of like your bond, but it's something that kind of makes them grow up and it makes your second one grow up faster. So I'd watch that too. The milestones you kind of experienced with your first, I think it's going to be a lot quicker with your second, just by nature of them being together and the older one wants to do stuff that the older one wants to do and the younger one wants to tag along. So that seems to go quicker and that bond develops pretty soon, and that kind of fills their time. So you're not so worried about them, I think. They'll figure it out. And it won't seem, at least to my kids, it didn't seem like I was ignoring them in any way. They had their own time together. What I think did help was like one-on-one time together. So if you took your oldest out to a movie or something, just you and him time, I think that once in a while definitely kind of reassures him that, you know, nothing's like changing. Yeah, like crazy, like,
well, it's yeah, well, we are, it's changed forever there, son. So the yeah. We don't get, not gonna see you too often. Best of luck.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now and then, but you know, once in a while we'll see Despicable Me 3 and that'll be that. I think those kind of trips help, and your time will definitely be a little bit not cut in half from what you had, just the private time that you get is kind of missing a little bit. So your oldest will stay up a little bit longer. Your youngest will be through the night again. And you'll just kind of be trying to find that routine to get by for at least a little bit until they get a little bit older to where you are now. So a couple years.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because it's
kind of a blur, honest to God. Like it's yeah. A blur.
Of course it is. It's been a blur up till now. It's because like... between yeah, the exhaustion and everything else. But it just struck me as far as like the looking at him as we're in this like just ordinary settings. It's funny like what passes for moments. Like you expect to have like these deep retrospective moments like as massive events or great scenery. So something of note would be happening, but instead it's like a restaurant inside of a mall. And then all of a sudden you look at this kid and you're just like, huh, like when the next one comes, we don't get to spend as much time with you. Like that was very much a gift. And then which secondly got me to thinking like damn, imagine if you had a third and then a fourth, like at that time, like
it just slowly goes down, like the bar is just
like fourth baby gets nothing. Like nothing. They don't even know your name. They're mostly just get raised by your first one.
Yeah. Well, I remember like my first was really into space. Like he loves space. So I showed him like, you know, all these documentaries and planets and everything. He was really into it. And that was our like kind of our time. Like I had a telescope. We hauled out the telescope at, not at night, but when he was up and we could look through the telescope. And then I kind of wanted to apply the same thing to my second, but he's totally different. Like he doesn't want none of that. I don't care. I don't care about space. I don't want to build a Lego. He's more into like painting. So it's different that way too, where you're not missing out on the same things. It's kind of, you're introducing new things and you get to experience that with them as well. The one thing I will say that's kind of a downer is that with your first one, when you know, like when they first sat up or they rolled over and you're like, yeah, and you got the video camera out and yay, this is amazing. The second one, it's just like, oh, we missed it.
What happened? Fine. Yeah. All right.
Oh, do it again. I guess we should get the camera. I guess. Okay.
Click. Yeah. I've heard of the super declining photos, like per kid.
Yeah, it does. It won't lie. It does happen. It's just because your time is a little bit pulled between the two and even pulled between you two. So it's like, that's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man. So stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what to tell you. It's just, it's heavy. Like this, it's really hitting home as how soon it's going to be. And like the, you get a lot of remembrance, like a lot of moments, just like, where you're caught up and you're thinking all of a sudden about what life has been with one, like all the wonderful moments with it. And then like what is coming, which, you know, which the problem is too, like, you know, some of what's coming, which is bad. Like, you know, the bad stuff that's coming. We've been here before, but it's like everything else around the bad stuff. What's the rest of it going to be like with like, what is it? How do you survive with two? So it's, an interesting time for myself as we like get prepared for it.
You have like a month left, right? There's just 1 month or something. Is it?
Yeah. End of August. A month. Oh yeah. Oh man.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh no. That's if we last, man. I don't know. There's a sense. it could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's just how this rolls at this point. So excited for it. I'll tell you this, still very excited for it. So can't wait to get that going. Much like the last one, it's just like the last weeks, you're just like, I want to go. Like, I'm ready. Like, I want to want to meet him. Let's
don't
go.
Don't delay it anymore. Just pop it out. Let's go.
Let's make it happen. just to quickly wrap up on some gaming stuff. The question we were throwing back and forth earlier was just around the game outside of the game, and specifically drama, reviews, story lore, like anything else going on outside with it. So I can think about Reddit's like just blowing up with No Man's Sky defenders or detractors, at campaigns repeat, like players have gone to Steam to try to shift the reviews of it, like either positive or negatively, reviews of games that are like massively great and like a community wraps around it and destroys it, or comes up with game theories or supports each other. And like, here's like all this other crazy one I just discovered in No Man's Sky, for instance, was entirely outside of the game. They like a group have gotten together, just completely map one quadrant of the star system.
Oh, wow.
It is a permanent star system. Like everyone can go to the same stars, so it's not randomly generated. And a group have just decided to start to map it. So they're going to try to get to every single star, and then they report in like where it is, like what it's like the fauna that they found. So games outside of games. And I just wonder, like, I guess what, curious of your take on it, if you've ever participated in it, has it ever affected a game for you? Because I guess for myself, like in many ways with my complete lack of gaming time, like that's almost like this connection back to gaming for myself until I find personal time to play again, where you're participating in some of these, not as actively as in writing anything, but reading and consuming and kind of watching from the outside of like, this is what that gaming community is up to. So it's been an avenue for myself to kind of stay within it and been kind of enjoyable. I don't know if you've had any experiences with the game outside the game.
Yeah, I have a couple examples that you've kind of pulled in. With the community kind of, I guess, bashing a game or collectively giving a negative review, the most current game with that kind of idea is Pillars of Eternity, which I just started. They raised the price before the Steam summer sale, and people didn't like that. Right. So they went on
Steam. They raised it and then reduced it again.
And then reduced it. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Which is horrible. Like, that's a bad practice. I don't like it. But now you have their Steam review thing as mixed because all these negatives came in. Like, I don't know how many, like 1,000 of them, saying, you know, negative, I don't approve of this. And nothing was about the game itself. So I found the game at a relatively cheap price. I wasn't paying full price. And it's a great game, but I had to like sift through all like the negative, just they don't like the practice, like the business aspect, which is fine. You know, you're allowed to do that. But I found like the game is good. They just didn't want to overpay. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I can go through that. In terms of like a story in the game outside of the game, The Witcher 3 had so many storylines and Easter eggs and like theories about how things connected. And I totally missed a lot of that, just being a dad and not being always focused in on every detail. But reading the forums after I've kind of completed certain areas, like I was careful not to spoiler myself on some of that content. But going back after I finished it was, it was nuts. Like, people connected things from the beginning to the end and all these other threads, and there's like family trees and world maps and stuff and like how the world was before. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, the community, like, for a game to inspire people to do that in their free time, let alone have the free time to do it, but to use it and kind of build on this game and make a legacy that people could still follow, it was cool. I don't know, I like that kind of stuff, where the game kind of lives on in its own community and grows. But
even if you don't with theories and content and like reviews and everything else, like, I think even if you didn't participate in it or know about it, like, it actually could come back and around and affect you. Because I could think with Mass Effect 3, where they the ending was not well received.
Oh,
and
yeah,
And I swear that they added a third option. Man, oh, I hope I'm like remembering this right. As far as I remember, there's a two options that people didn't like it. So based on that, they actually updated the game to add a third option.
Okay.
Okay. No, I'm Googling this one because now I feel like.
But I can see that happening. Like, people give enough feedback, and if the developer is, you know, wise enough to listen to the community that they're trying to put their game out to, they could change the game if it's doable. I think The Witcher 3, now that I mention it, they did a movement patch where people weren't happy on how The Witcher actually controlled. And it was just about how people turned. He would take an extra step. And literally, that's all it was. They patched it in as an option. It was great. And then people were like, that's all I wanted. That's perfect. But stuff like that, that's totally doable if the community's talking and the developer's listening. I'm all for it.
Maybe it was. Okay, maybe I'm like...
Are you making this up? Is that what?
Possibly, or like it's been long enough ago.
Well, okay. Another example, Final Fantasy 15. People hated that story because they couldn't. There's so many holes. And when I got into it, the patch that was 15 gigs or whatever it was, put in all these extra sequences from Kingsglaive and like new CG cutscenes to fill in that story because they were realizing that, hey, look, people don't understand it. And that was great feedback. It made the game experience better for me rather than being a early adopter.
Yeah, hold on. Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 3 controversy, new ending this summer. Let's see.
This coming summer? No.
No, like this, whenever this summer had happened.
Yeah.
Let's see. So critiques, are spot on, a truth, developers.
Look at Andromeda, though.
This summer, they will see the release of a free downloadable content currently referred to as the extended cut, will feature additional cinematic sequences and epilogue scenes, along with the deeper insights and how the person's journey concludes. Notably, they don't say they're going to change the ending.
Probably can at that point.
The three changes. Methods, not likely the additional cinematic sequence. Okay, so they just added, never mind. So there was the three, it's always the three, but then they just added some additional like backstory around it. Okay, yeah. That doesn't count. I just want to, like, as soon as I say, like, that sounds, I don't want to bank on
no, but like,
accurate on that one.
Look at Andromeda, where the characters were so bad that they went back in and redid some of the speeches because it was not synced and graphically.
I mean, Destiny, when they, I think, fan uproar caused Dinklage to be removed as the...
Yeah, that was...
Like, voiced, and people hated like the performance, so they just had someone else come in and do it instead.
Yeah. It was not good, but I don't think it should have been removed. I don't know.
I don't know how bad it could have possibly been.
It was just a robot kind of voice. It was... I'm like, maybe that was the direction he was given. It was not emotional. He was a cube or whatever, a floating thing.
Man, with the but I could recall too. So with Mass Effect 3, like the expanse. I remember watching all these podcasts that dissected the ending and like to hear the thoughts on it, because that one especially, I think, is probably one of the biggest series that had any kind of effect on me. Like much like a book, where it's just you've been with these characters for so long, it was so interesting to see how the story concluded, but to see the fan made versions of the ending, how they would have done it, which is usually just like recuts of like existing cinematics, which is kind of cool to read theories, to read like discussions on it. Like all this, like, of course you then get the drama as well, like Street Fighter. It was just ripped apart at the beginning. Like people were so upset about it. And then now it's all about the meta, like who's like, is good, like following some of the notable stars as like they go through tournaments. To bring a whole nother layer to this thing, like the all the professional playing of these games in addition to it. You want to talk about an outside world based upon a game within a game. It's just like when people are trying to play it for money. So it'd be like Hearthstone championships, CSGO championships, Halo championships back in the way. I don't think those things exist anymore, but, geez, so like not only are you talking about this game and like enjoying this game, but now you have like, you're talking about people people and characters who are playing this game and all the politics that surrounds like that and all the crazy stuff that would happen that anytime actual humans get involved and money's also involved in tournaments. Yeah,
exactly. Way different than even Rocket League. I remember Rocket League was just a freebie for at least the console users. And then it rolled out to everybody. And now there's a gaming competition on Rocket League for money.
Have you ever watched one of those? I don't know. Like, I've seen some just ballistic gameplay and the level of control is like, how do you possibly?
It's insane what people can do on there. Like, there's no way I have the time or the patience to do the maneuvers that they're doing in the game. And that's half that's like, if you've ever watched an esport kind of championship, even like CSGO in particular, their keyboards and mice are all kind of like measured where they need them to be and all hotkeyed. I'm like, I don't remember those days. I'm sorry. I was like, WASD. Forward, back, left, right.
Mouse, mouse, click, click.
Pistol is number one. Got it. And that's
done. It. And finished.
Yep.
I'm dead. No, like the strategy and like the collaboration that goes into like any of those like matches, especially teams, is just astonishing.
Oh, my God.
How does this stuff exist? No. But again, with the communities where like they're talking about best strategies, like I can't get past a certain level, not level, but like I can't rise past this rank on the public leaderboards. Like, how do you do that? Like, it's it's so like
most of them, I will say, are very well maintained, where they won't give away the story or like the easy answer. Like, they won't just blurt it out like, oh, you need to be, you know, level 40 with this blood sword to kill the final guardian and his name is blah because he backstabbed you. Like, they're very like, they'll kind of drip feed you the information to get you through something, which I found great. Like, a lot of that stuff is just very well manicured. So no one's being spoiled by going into these forums. YouTube's a little bit of a different story where you scroll and then somebody's like, hey, look, the ending to Mass Effect was this. And you're like, oh God, you son of a...
I've appreciated that actually, though, because I think there's been a couple games where I just said, like on dad time, I'm like, I'm not going to, I don't care. Not finishing this game. Show me what the ending is.
Yeah.
Fine. Good.
Yeah, I've watched some playthroughs too, right? And like, just show me the ending playthrough. Ah, great. Let's see. That's 50 what that does. Hours.
Yeah. Cheers, you too. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, entirely different world. Like, so it's the ripple effect of a game landing, and especially when it means something to the community, is astounding. Like, the it drops and then it's like forums, communities, videos, fan art, theories, like, and how much, yep. And then again how that kind of feeds back into the game. Like, it's definitely it's a wild time, man.
No, it's all great, and it's for the most part for the better. Like, even one last game is Battlefront. People hated that game when it came out, just with the lack of content. Some suckers bought it. I won't say who.
Yeah, some fools.
But no, they dramatically changed for the better, I hope, is Battlefront 2 with the story.
Yeah, better for you. Who's a sucker now?
So we'll see. They promised it. We'll see if they deliver. But the community spoke and they listened. If they didn't speak, then it would be the same stuff rehashed because they made their money on it. Just do it over.
Yeah, no, it's for the better. Like, I think that's, you want to make sure, you'd like them to stick to their artistic visions, but if they can definitely take feedback from their most loyal fans and be able to improve, then
yeah,
it's great, man. But and like I said, for guys like myself who are sitting on the outside, it gives you a little peek on the other side of the walled garden that you hope to go and traverse one day.
Yeah.
We'll get back there one day.
One day.
And you'll be miles ahead of me. Like, you'll be like at least 2 years into the future as far as like where I am, where it's like, yeah, right. 12 now, I get to play so many games again, woo, this is great. I'm like, oh God, birthday parties. No time.
Sorry about that. Sorry about your luck.
Pew pew pew.
The future is great. I love it. We got an air cars that fly in the sky. Trevor, get over here.
Oh, can't we? I said that, trying to rock a baby to sleep, just watching his like his blast on the other side of this fence. One day. Oh. And until such day, Thanks everybody for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. This is a weekly podcast. You can find us on any of the podcast stores, iTunes, Google Play, or any other podcasting service. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. Please do drop a note if you'd like to have any show suggestions, comments, questions, anything else. And as most importantly, if you can give us a subscribe, a like, and a share for any new dad who games, or at least wishes he could and reads fan fiction on forums until such day. But we'll get back there one day. Until such time, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and a second on the way.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old and live in the future. So,
so far, man. It's like, we're just going to rename the show. Don't worry, Trevor, you'll get here. It's,
yeah. Watch out for this.
Just sitting in top hats, martinis, and Game Boys or something.
Game Boys, yeah. Got my special gold Game Boy. You're doing fun in front of a fireplace. Hey.
Oh, bear skin run, perfect. Oh, wonderful. See you next week.
See you. Peace.
And the end. It's only... So your youngest is 4. So you're, but I have a 2. So yeah, so you're 2 years in the future.
2 years. 2 years. You're good.
Man, that's hard to like. It is weird to think about your kid's age, because I'm focused. Because my, you know, everything with me as kid is like my kids. So when we started this, I had no kids.
Yeah.
We were like, my wife was pregnant when we started this show, and we've been at it now for 2 years, of course, because that's his age. But like you had when you started, you had a 2-year-old. You had my current situation.
Do you
remember
the first episode though? First episode, I was in the basement off an iPad. I was like huddled, like.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, the first, and we're long form. Like we're trying to. Yep. This will be the one topic. We still try to generally have topics.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's much more free flow.
Yeah, I still had to adapt. Like I didn't know what I was doing. Like I have to carve out time somewhere. So.
God, yeah, how did you possibly have time? That's amazing to think about now. Because two of us were, yeah, because Gavin and I are both just pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, not us, but we had our kids. Yeah, the kids on the way.
Yeah.
You had, like, you were in the flesh. You had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. That's nuts. Yeah. Or was that a 3 years difference, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So he was getting close, so.
Okay, so call it 2 and 5. So yeah, you're in the thick of it. Man, that's incredible that you were on the show.
I'm living in the future, Trevor. No.
See if I can cope. We'll see. Like, I get a 2-year-old and another one and just like, nope, can't do it.
Can't do it.
Forget it. You're on your own.
When they start talking and doing their own little personalities, I think it's easier that way.
Oh, we'll it's see, easier man. It's going to be awesome.
I'm getting to talk back now, so they all talk back to me now.
Talk back now?
It yeah.
Again. It's truly a dad.
Yeah. What'd you say to me?
Go to your room.
Yeah.
As long as you're living under my house.
Yeah.
In my house, under my rule. I pay the hydro bills. I make the rules.
Till you beat me at Final Fantasy 15, you can't.
Oh, don't set the bar that low.
Yeah, that's true.
He's gonna be the man of the house. Like 9.
I think something else. Battletoads. That.
Oh, as if you've beaten Battletoads.
I haven't, but I can lie about it.
The subtle lies that keeps it all together.
Yeah. How did he beat this?
Huh? Is it possible? I should try to watch a speedrun of that. I have no concept of that game after the. What's the level? It's like the level with the jumping bikes.
Yeah. I think I might have seen it past that once.
And I can't think of any other level after that.
It gets harder after that because it's got like rattlesnakes that go away and you have to jump on them and follow them somewhere, but it doesn't give you like an area where to go. It's so impossible. Like there's no way there's someone could ever finish that.
That could be your life quest just to finish that thing. And like, you'd still never succeed.
That and the Ninja Turtle underwater level. Impossible.
Oh,
can't do it.
Yeah, screw that game.
No way. Living hell.
The game is built to like just eat quarters.
So, yeah, and break souls.